Welcome to the Growing in Grace podcast, where you can listen in on some casual conversation about the good news of Jesus without all of the inconsistent religious double talk. If you've ever struggled with feelings of hopelessness, guilt, and despair, or wondered if you're really right with God, it's time to discover the true freedom that comes with the gospel of unlimited and overflowing grace.
Hey! It's the Growing in Grace podcast. I'm Mike Kapler. Along with the guy who doesn't monkey around, but he did study theology under Dr. Zayas, and it continues to evolve, by the way, Joel Brzezinski.
Hey!
I studied under Fat Albert.
Hey!
Never liked that one.
You didn't like that one?
No. I was pretty skinny as a kid, and I just couldn't relate to it.
That was one of my favorites as a kid.
And that, I didn't identify as fat
that
back
and,
then.
That and
Captain Cannon!
Maybe I like it better now. I don't know.
Oh. I don't know.
I mean, you know you're in trouble when you're laying on the beach and somebody calls for a marine biologist because they think there's a whale laying there. But that's kind of a Seinfeld thing there, too, that, Joel,
yep,
for those
Seinfeld.
Who didn't know.
And it was was that the one with the golf ball?
Yeah. That is probably one of my favorites.
And, you know, that was not in the script. They came up with that the night before shooting.
Because that's at the end of the show.
Yeah. I saw something about that. Anyway, if you're not a Seinfeld fan, you don't know what we're talking about, but it's okay.
No.
It's okay.
No. And if anybody ever wonders, it was a Titleist, by the
Titleist.
Way. But, Joel, well, before we came on, we were discussing some things like we do sometimes, although rarely do we have a conversation and then dive into a podcast to talk about it. Usually when we do the podcast, more times than not, we do very little discussion about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
True statement. But we did have a lot of discussion today about a number of different things as we were talking about some things that we could talk about. So we did just get done discussing something for a few minutes, and we're just going to take it because I think we recorded about a 20-minute podcast.
I think we just did two podcasts that will never get aired because they weren't recorded.
As we used to say, the tape was not rolling. So you had asked the question. Maybe you should ask it, but I'll start and you kind of asked about the Galatians, which we've talked a lot about because it's a very, I think, one of the most powerful books in the New Testament. And we got this group of people that Paul had been working closely with, Gentiles, people outside of Israel, not Jewish people, and they came to belief and faith in Christ freely, no works or law involved because they wouldn't have really been all that familiar with it as Gentiles. They came freely by God's grace, the work of the Spirit, as Paul described in the beginning of Galatians chapter 3, and yet we know that. And this is kind of mentioned throughout the book of Galatians that Paul is addressing. I guess it's the motivation for him to write them this letter. And these Judaizers who claim to have faith in Christ, but also carried with them the old Mosaic law, which Paul believed had been wiped out and abolished and was no longer in effect. These Judaizers would come along to these Gentiles who had come to Christ and were experiencing the joy that they had found in this free gospel. And yet these Jewish people who also claimed to believe in Christ, but also believed that the law was meant to be part of the equation, they came along and told them, well, you have to, you know, get into circumcision and who knows what else. And so you ask the question, I wonder what would have happened with these people, the Galatian people, if the Judaizers had never shown up? Would they have still felt compelled to go back into, you know, working through the flesh, or would they have stayed more free and pure, unadulterated grace? And so let's talk about some of this, and I think some of it kind of comes back to us today, really, in many ways.
Yeah, and what got me thinking about this was I had made a post on social media, and my friend Mark had commented something that made me think and wonder, and something that I've actually thought about a lot over the years, but really haven't necessarily expressed. But he was thinking that perhaps everybody, you know, the reason that people are drawn to law and rules, I'm summarizing what he said, not putting it in his words, but in my own words, that they're drawn to that because there's a natural, perhaps a natural bent toward legalism. And I've wondered about that. Is it natural? And this is my own question, I don't even necessarily have an answer. But is legalism natural, or is it learned? And that's a hard one, I think, for us to really figure out, because there is, even in non-spiritual, non-Christian world, there is legalism, you know, and so it's, but where did that all come from? But anyway, my thought with the people of Galatia, we've talked a lot about the book of Galatians, of course, and where Paul was calling them foolish, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you. Basically, the problem was they had come into Christ. And again, these were Gentile people. I had a person on Facebook who used to try to convince me that they were Jewish. But I looked that up this morning. Did you know that Galatia, without the A, but that comes from the word Celt or Celt. And so I looked further into this, and it was actually Welsh people, the people that would live in modern-day Wales, who had gone over to that area of the world and were helping fight in some wars and battles, and they settled there. And that's how Galatia, the word Galatai, comes from the word Celt. And you got the word Gaelic and Celtic and Celtic, and that's where that... So they were Gentiles, is really what I really wanted to find out. So they were proper Gentiles. They were non-Jewish people. And they had been part of the group of people in the world. You know, Paul said about them, you were once far off from God, but you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. And as we've talked about, the Galatians and other Gentiles, since they didn't have the law of Moses, they weren't part of that covenant that had all those laws and rules. And in fact, in Romans 9, Paul says that the Gentiles were not even pursuing righteousness. They had no interest in it. In Romans 1, it says they were suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. So to me, the picture that I get of Gentiles before Christ is that they weren't pursuing righteousness. They didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't care. But they did want God. There were people who believed in God. It just wasn't about being righteous and all that. But so Paul says, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. And so the Gentiles came to Christ apart from the law, had nothing to do with knowing the law, just that they were once far off. They were brought near by faith. And so they began this life in Christ apart from the law. And then the Judaizers came in and they said, you need to add law, this law of Moses that you've never been under. You need to add this to your life in Christ in order to further perfect the flesh. And so Paul, in Galatians 5, he tells them, you ran well. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? So what was it that they were doing that they were running well? It was that they were running this life in Christ apart from the law, apart from adding works to it. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? It was the Judaizers who came in and tried to add law to their life. And so I was wondering, what if these Jewish believers who believed that they had to add law, who were telling the Galatian people that they had to add law to their life, what if they had never come in and done that? Would these Galatian people, these Gentiles who never had the law, would they have naturally gravitated toward works somehow, or would they? And maybe it's the purist in me who wants this, who would, you know, someday we'll see this world, it's just full of grace, has nothing to do with law. It's life in Christ that has nothing to do with works. Nobody's ever gonna teach it again. You know, maybe it's, you know, utopia that I'm thinking of here, but you know what I'm saying, that in this utopia, people have come to Christ by faith apart from works, and they live their life by the Spirit and not by trying to add their own works to it. I'm wondering what would have happened with these Galatian people if the law had never been introduced to them. I don't know. You have any thoughts?
We could probably come up with a parody. Remember that John Lennon song, Imagine?
Oh, yeah. Imagine all the Galatians.
Imagine no law of Moses.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah.
So we don't necessarily have the answer to this question, but so there's a couple different ways to look at this. I mean, you can go back to the garden, and it seems like even the first of the human creation felt the need to do something to make themselves more like God. And they believed a lie. So it's hard to really know if somebody had never been confronted, because they were also confronted with the beast of the field. The serpent challenged them in their thinking based on what they understood from God. Galatians also confronted, and how much of the law they were really trying to push on them is not really clear. We know circumcision is mentioned, but that's the beginning, I think, and Paul made the point, it's a slippery slope. If you're going to go down that road, even if it's just circumcision, then you'll be obligated to keep all of it. They're going to suck you in.
Right.
And there will be no stopping it. You'll end up back in the place before the cross that the Jewish people were in, who really had no chance of catching the righteousness that they were pursuing through their work. So you had this covenant of works that God had set up. The God of the universe had set up this covenant of works with a group of people that we know as Jews or Israelites. And yes, we now know that that covenant and the law within that covenant came to an end, was deemed to be useless, weak, and made obsolete, replaced with something new and better, a better covenant that is not based on works. So two very different covenants that somehow got mixed up, partly because the people of that day shortly after the cross were confused and mixed up, and in my opinion, understandably so. Paul had a revelation directly from God about that law, but a lot of Jews didn't, and so they came to faith in Christ. They'd heard about this risen Jesus and believed in him, but they still had this big heavy thing hanging over their heads called the law. And how that was going to work for them, I don't know. Believing in Jesus and the law, you know, it's kind of a mixture thing there. And we're still dealing with it today because of what they were dealing with back then. Even in my own case, Joel, the person who prayed with me to place faith in Christ at a young age when I was a child, this is not somebody I was with on a daily or even a weekly basis. So before they took off, they gave me a few pointers. They just wanted to give me something. Well, they gave me a Bible. It was a King James Bible, so that did me a whole lot of good at the age of 9 or 10. But eventually I got a Living Bible as a kid. That helped a lot. And so, but one of the things they told me was, if you mess up, if you sin, if you do something wrong, just ask God to forgive you, and he'll forgive you. And so that became a big mantra in my life. And then a bunch of other dominoes came and got knocked down from there, because even just that one little seed, it's sort of, and would I have thought of this on my own? The question you asked about the Galatians, I don't really know, but I think even just that one little seed that I just mentioned kind of put me in a works mentality.
Right.
I mean, I had just come to this place where I had prayed to declare my faith in Christ, and I just felt so good afterward. I hadn't even lived that long, but I just felt new and alive and clean and light and fresh. It's hard to describe. Mm-hmm. But then eventually I don't know. You start finding out from other people. I mean, I've been in churches before who tout certain aspects of law. It's not the real law. It's not the law of Moses. We come up with our own law, right? We come up with our own version, modernized version of it. Because if we were really to do the whole Mosaic law, we'd really have to go back and learn a whole bunch of stuff. So people who tout law, they're really not touting the law that's in the Bible.
Right. No, that's for sure.
613 commands. They'll you know, cherry pick a few out of there, and they'll act like they're law keepers or something. And that somehow that's going to justify them or maintain their righteousness by doing certain things, but they'll never tell you how well you have to do them. And I think that's what it comes down here to, Joel, is are we going to believe in the perfection that we have in Christ because of what he did and the blood that was shed? Or are we going to try and get there on our own through our own works, even if we want to say, faith will be dead if we don't somehow demonstrate our fruit to other people? Well, how much fruit? How many works? How well do you have to do it? Exactly which works? They can't give you that information. Even if somebody wants to give you a list of 1,000 New Testament commands that they tout and try to promote and push on people, they will never exactly specifically tell you how well you have to do it. So do you want to try and get graded on the curve, or do you just want to trust in Christ who brought the perfection that works could never do?
That's what I was going to say when you're talking about that. That's like being graded on a curve. It's like comparing my so-called works, my so-called fruit, to that of somebody else, when it's really not even my fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's God working in us. It's his fruit that he produces. We simply bear it. And when it comes down to it, there really is no measuring stick. It's just that the fruit that the Spirit produces, he produces it. And I don't think that we're meant to measure that. But like you say, the people who kind of talk that talk about the law, it's like they act as if there's a certain amount. You have to produce all of this stuff, but they can never tell you exactly how much. Anyway, it's kind of silly. But so Paul had said, wrapping this up here, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? And then he says, this persuasion, this is Galatians 5, by the way, 7 and 8, and then we'll go into 9 and 10. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. This persuasion to add works to your life in Christ in order to, quote, further perfect the flesh or to justify yourself any further, this persuasion does not come from him, capital H-I-M, talking about the Lord, does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. And I just believe that that leaven has been just growing and growing all these centuries since that time. But at the same time, well, here, what I was thinking, Paul just said in a different way, verse 10 of Galatians 5, I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. Now, that's not what I was thinking about, but I have confidence in the Lord that you will have no other mind, in that what's going on these days is that people are preaching grace. They are preaching justification by faith apart from works, and that persuasion does come from him who calls us. That persuasion, you know, Paul had said that the person who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly. So it's the ungodly people, it's people who do not work, who do not have works to show, it's those people who God justifies. And that persuasion comes from the Lord. That was the revelation that Paul received from the Lord. And so whether or not all of this stuff, legalism, is learned, or whether it's a natural bent in people, the remedy is to be persuaded by the Lord in, you know, walking by faith and walking by the Spirit, and not according to fleshly commandments.
This has been Growing in Grace with Mike Kapler and Joel Brizeke, heard online through various internet sources around the world each week. Access past programs by visiting growingingrace.org. Share it with a friend and listen again next week for more Growing in Grace.